I'm Jason Mundock, and this is Around the Wood Stove, from the Wood Stove House in Lancaster, Pennsylvania. 2010 has been a big year here at the Wood Stove House. Our Wood Stove House concert series started in 2009, but 2010 marked our first full year with 5 sold-out shows. It also marked the beginning of this program, Around the Wood Stove, which started as a monthly podcast back in March, with the goal of supporting and encouraging performing arts in Lancaster, Pennsylvania. By the end of the year, the show morphed into a 30-minute radio program showcasing local, regional, and national musicians. In this episode, we take a look back at some of the highlights from 2010, with excerpts from several of the 16 episodes produced that year. We begin with clips from the very first episode that was recorded in January and February, and released on March 5th on the internet. That first episode was the only one that featured more than one artist, and started with an interview with Lancaster-area jazz saxophonist Ryan Kaufman. Ryan released a new album in 2010 called Three Little Words. Here's Ryan talking about the title track to that album.
Yeah, this one turned up one day. I've been trying to work a lot more in the past year or so, and I need to continue to do some more work too on my piano skills in general and just on understanding piano harmony. So I was working on a tune. I was just studying this. It's a classic Cole Porter tune called I Love You. And I'm not going to attempt to sing it right now because I have a cold, but the Cole Porter tune, I Love You, and I started fooling around with the harmony to it, sort of stripped it down and then added a few twists of my own with the harmony, with the chords. Originally, I was thinking of, well, I'll do this arrangement of I Love You, and it'll be this. Hopefully it'll be a hip arrangement of I Love You. And it ended up sort of going, making enough left turns that I decided I'd just write a new melody on top of it, and we'll call it one of my tunes.
Gotcha.
Instead. And, you know, now that you ask that, that tends to be one of the main ways that I write pieces in general, is I tend to start with something that I'm sort of using as a template, either an older tune of mine or a study piece or a classic jazz standard or pop tune, and I might start tweaking it until it sort of becomes unrecognizable. But anyway, that's sort of the process that happened here with Three Little Words. And the band did a great job. I was wanting it to be this sort of just straight ahead, burning kind of up-tempo tune. And it was nice.
That was an excerpt from Ryan Kaufman's Three Little Words from his 2010 album by the same name. The second half of our first episode featured our first Woodstove House Concert guest of the year, Jason Wilbur. Jason is most known as the lead guitarist for John Prine, but he also writes and records his own albums and frequently tours the country solo, performing in venues as large as theaters and as small as our living room. Here's Jason Wilbur talking about his live performance experience.
You're here for a house concert, and I was just curious about your house concert experience, what you think of them and how they compare to other venues, being someone who's played in probably every kind of venue that you can imagine.
Yeah, I've played everything from a house concert for 10 people to Carnegie Hall for several thousand people, you know. So they are great in their, you know, for what they are. I think house concerts are really fun. It's a cool, intimate way for people to hear music. I think it's fun for the performers because it's a totally... well, not totally different experience, but it's a very different experience from doing a theater performance or a club performance.
Sure.
And a lot of times for an artist who maybe could go to a town and would have a hard time filling a venue that's 100 or 200 seats, or if they were going to play a venue that was maybe 50 seats, maybe the only thing that would be available to them would be someplace that wasn't really suitable.
Sure.
I think it's a great alternative. I mean, and I think it also is very much of the time we're in the sense that it's very much a do-it-yourself thing. You don't need to get sanctioned by anyone or have any kind of, you know, you just go, well, I'm going to have a bunch of people over to my house. I'm going to have some music and we're going to have fun.
Absolutely.
And, you know, that you don't have to get anybody's permission to do that, which is pretty cool.
Here's a bit of Jason's song, In Her Veins, from his 2004 album, King for a Day.
Flowers don't grow unless she says they can. The sun won't rise until she waves her hand. Electricity is in her veins, and it pulls at me like that. When I walk right back. Horses and castles and stories of distant lands. Moving her lips and the fingers on her hands. In hypnotic fascination, I watch the pendulum swing. Soon the very air begins to sing.
In May 2010, Woodstove House Concerts welcomed Nathan and Becky Bliss, the incredible husband and wife duo from Brooklyn, New York, known as Barnaby Bright. Before the sold-out concert, we chatted about their lives as touring musicians and their 2009 album, Wake the Hero. Here's a little bit of that conversation, along with an excerpt of the song, Don't Look Down.
I get a lot of requests from bands who tour, especially the house concert circuit, because we're located in a really good spot mm-hmm. between some major cities. So I get a lot of requests from bands looking to fill dates between. Yeah. And I have to tell you this, that when you guys contacted me and I heard that song, that was, you're the first band that ever contacted me that I was like, yeah, we're definitely going to have these guys come down. And it was because of that track.
Thanks. We should put that on the set list then.
That'd be great. Is there a story behind that song, or is there anything that you'd like to talk about that particular song?
Nathan wrote it, so...
Yeah, it's loosely based on a real experience driving out west, leaving New York and East Coast Boston, where I'd gone to college and stuff, and just driving out to chase your dreams, and sometimes you don't want to look too closely or think about it too much, you know? Just kind of want to go. And the line in that song, like walking a tightrope, just keep moving, don't look down, it's kind of... You know, sometimes you just want to go and jump and just know that you'll land right somehow.
I'm really glad to hear that that's based, at least even loosely, on a real experience, because I was hoping it wasn't a metaphor. It's just it takes you there. You know what I'm saying? Like, I felt that.
Yeah.
The driving.
Oh,
the
that's real.
Movement.
Yeah.
And so that's cool. You know what I mean?
And Needles, California actually ran out of gas a few miles outside of Needles, California. So that's how that got in there.
We never knew the trouble down the road. We just hit the gas and kept on driving. The rain was falling fast, the wipers beat lopsided rhythms in the darkness. The headlights from the head-on car threw light against the glass, exploding diamonds. We were driving way too fast, running from a past we left behind us. We didn't want to know. pulled into a truck stop somewhere just outside of Needles, California. You asked me for $10 and I said, what about the last $10 I loaned you? Stumbling through the ice, trading secret smiles and laughing at the owners. Newspapers read Garcia dead. You cried and I tried to console.
Indian Summer Jars is one of my favorite bands from central Pennsylvania. Sarah Beth and Sarah King performed at one of our 2009 Woodstove House concerts. In early summer 2010, the two Sarahs came back to the Woodstove House to chat about the band and their 2008 album, Similar.
Another song that that I think really stands out is The Biscuit.
Oh, yes. Yeah, that... You like that one?
I love it.
The cool. Biscuit's the song that came with the guitar.
It did. That's exactly right.
Talk about that.
Well, I bought this. I used to play a lot of electric guitar and started getting an acoustic, and I ended up trading a Les Paul in for this cool resonator guitar, and it was called the Biscuit. That's, you know, it was an Epiphone. I still have it, but anyway, so I did literally took this guitar home and out came that song. And it was one of the first that we were playing songs together, but for me, that was kind of like,
why didn't I think of a harmonizer or something?
What'd you say?
Was that one where you were like, why didn't I think of adding someone to harmonize?
Well, that I wrote when I knew you.
I mean, like, that's one of the big harmony songs, though.
Gotcha. Oh, yeah, yeah, definitely. Yeah.
Where it's just a spirit, like, it works together really well. And we kind of fell into our pattern of how we sing with each other with that song.
There's a tension with the vocals. Mm-hmm. There's like a... it's like an emotional tension. It's not really lyrically for me, but I just love that.
Cool.
And
it's just because you get to that, like, it's almost like when you're in theater and you're on stage and you're performing a moment where, like, my voice teacher used to tell me, like, you want to be like right on the edge of like exploding all over the audience with your emotion, but still being able to. Not, you know, still under control. Right. And that's what it's like. So she one time stood behind me and pinched my, right behind my elbow like this to try to get me to, I was reading a monologue, I think, and she wanted me to get angrier in it. So she just pinched right there to try and get, you know, that sound, that intensity.
Did it work?
Breaking through. Oh, yeah. Definitely. All those little tricks.
Just real quick about the chorus of that song was, I worked in a warehouse for about a year. It's like I got out of high school and I was never good in school, because I didn't go very often. But anyway, so I got this job in a warehouse and I was really struggling with, you know, what am I going to do? And I can't, there's no sunlight in here. It was hard work. And so the chorus is, you know, I decided to leave that job and I moved on to much better things. Not better money, that's for sure, but better things. But sure. It's just, if I work all day, I'll never see the sun. It's just talking about, you know, once again, it kind of ties in with the name, our theme, you know, just kind of getting out and you know, doing what you want to do.
Much, and I think this is why I'm alive, for the reason
shot of gin and if I were cold, daddy, I may never see the sun and I will live my life like convict on the run. I got no bones, no chain, got no prison to speak of. Got this one fine thing, fine thing called love. Let me choose mine. I don't think too much of this thing called time. Well, I think too much and I think this is why I'm alive. For the reasons I'm alive, for the cause. I don't know what kind of energy that you've been running on, cause I'm tired and I'm spent. I just wanna rest my head. Maybe in a soft, soft bed or in a shot of gin and if I were day, I may never see the sun, and I will live my life like a convict on the run. I got no bones, no chain, got no prison to speak. I've just got this one fine thing called convict on the run. I got no bones, no chain, got no prison to speak. I've just got this one fine thing called love.
In September, Lancaster-based singer-songwriter Jessica Smucker stopped by the Woodstove House to talk about her October 2010 release, This Broken Moment, which is her third album since 2008 and second with her band, The Sleeping World. Here's Jessica talking about the song Mermaid's Kiss from This Broken Moment.
The idea that I was mulling over in the song was I was thinking about how the fascination with Hollywood actresses and models and the sort of completely inaccessible, beautiful woman reminded me of the, you know, ancient fascination with mermaids. Mm. And the idea that there's this incredibly sexual creature on one hand, but completely unavailable on the other hand. And that the, it was just created this parallel in my head. And so the song was sort of built around that idea. And I didn't really have a specific target. I mean, a lot of my songs end up being in the second person, like they're being written to somebody.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't really have a specific target for that song, except that it was, you know, maybe, the idea of writing it to a male friend who's always chasing after the inaccessible woman. And so there's a lot of anger and frustration in the song. I mean, I would consider it probably, I would think of it as a very feminist song.
On your wedding day, yeah, I was gonna be the one to prophesy your mermaid wake. How she'd unlisted down from the movie screen long enough for you to take a bite. I wanted more than your bed. I'ma keep it a words like arrows shooting straight to your head. I was gonna be the one. She was with her hair hung down in the ocean on her back. It all happened so quickly. I'm afraid I miss my cue. Maybe I'm just tired. I blow your mind with my tongue. Burned you with chalice lips. You mistook for a mermaid's kiss, but I wanted more than your lust. that could beat your words to dust. Just haven't bothered for a long time.
That was Jessica Smucker and the Sleeping World with Mermaid's Kiss. In September, we also hosted our first Woodstove House Concerts Halfway to St. Patrick's Day party featuring Phil Campbell, a wonderful singer from Northern Ireland. Phil has been promoting her Songbirds Project, a television series and CD that showcases the music and lives of several of Ireland's first female recording artists from the early to mid-20th century. Well, in 2005, you released the most recent CD, mm-hmm. and it turned out to be a pretty big project called Songbirds.
Yeah, it was really interesting how that happened. 2 years earlier, I'd been writing for 3-4 years, and I did an album of my own, mostly my own songs, called Beneath the Calm, mm-hmm. and I came over to the Folk Alliance conference here to NERFA up in upstate New York as a songwriter. Mm. Not realizing that there was another 750 songwriters there, you know.
Right.
And at the sessions, everybody wanted an Irish songs, and I didn't have an Irish album. So I went home to with the idea that I would do an album of Irish songs and then get back to my writing. And when I had completed the album, I had decided to do a lot of songs that I'd learned as a child. Somebody pointed out that a lot of them had been recorded by this woman, Delia Murphy, mm-hmm. and that it might make an interesting television thing. So we went to RTE, and they liked the idea and said, would you, you know, we would love to do something about Delia Murphy, but would you pick other women as well? And so what started out to be, you know, an album that should have been done and dusted in 2 or 3 months, here I am 5 years later still with it.
Still promoting
that
record.
And it's been an amazing journey. It's been very interesting.
If I were king of Erin's Isle and all things at my will, I'd roam through all creation, new comforts to find still. And the comfort I would seek the most, as you will understand, is to win the heart of Martha, the flower of sweet Strabane. Her cheeks, they are a rosy red, her eyes a lovely brown, and o'er her lily white shoulders her golden hair hangs down. She's one of the fairest creatures, and famous is her clan, and my heart is captivated by the flower of sweet Strabane.
New York City's Caleb Holly joined us for an October 2010 sold-out house concert and delivered an incredible performance made up of tracks from his 2009 release Steps and his brand new album We All Got Problems. Here's Caleb talking about the song Other Side of It All from Steps.
I remember specifically, you know, at the time, I was working part time at Starbucks, and I just remember that was when I read the paper the most, because I'd have my breaks, and then I'd also, you know, being in New York, you have a lot of mm-hmm. a lot of wealth, you know, so you have people coming in, like, oh, how depressing is this economy, you know, just so down about it, and I was just like, you know, I wanted to write something, you know, uplifting, because you look in history, like, There's been a lot of downtimes, and it always comes up, you know, and that's the kind of the theme of the song, you know, Other Side of It All, getting across to the other side. And it's funny though, because I was originally writing that song about, it was originally called Innocent Affair, and it was a totally different lyric direction.
Oh, really?
Which I'm so glad I didn't go that way, because it would have been so. Because the thing is, I had the riff and I had the melody, and I was like, you know what, this is gonna be a good pop song. I could tell, and I was like, so what direction? And I think about most pop music, and like a lot of it is about relationships. And I was like, maybe I should just kind of, you know, sell out and go that way. But then, you know, whatever. I guess my conscience or something to help me back. And I thought that the, you know, world, you know, kind of, or the country kind of needed a song, needed an uplifting song. And so, you know, I play it around a lot and people tend to, you know, appreciate it.
Years ago, the early 30s, there was trouble. A whole nation of discouraged people. Till FDR made a deal. Yeah, we moved along, but today, still seeing worry on the people's face. The banks took all confidence out of this place. And there's no money to be made. But we'll find our way. Everything's gonna be okay. It always is. 'Cause ever since the world began, when the people go down, they get right back up again. I know that it's hard to imagine, but it's gonna happen. And I'll see you on the other side of it all. There's a town in Germany that had to build a wall. I couldn't get along, so they just divided it all. But then they tore it down and they moved along. But still, across the map, there's all this tension built. A whole world living by division's will. But I like to think it'll change. You know, it's seen it happen before, so I wouldn't close your mind just yet. Oh, 'cause ever since the world began, when the people go down, they get right back up again. I know that it's hard to imagine, but it's gonna happen. I'll see you on the other side of it all. I know it can seem like forever, but in the span of it all, you know, from slavery to freedom, enemies, now we need them.
Well, we hope you've enjoyed this look back at 2010, the first year of Around the Wood Stove. We're already really excited about the guests we have booked so far in 2011 and look forward to another great year. Join us again at this same time next week or listen to all of our episodes online at woodstovehouse.com.
Around the Wood Stove is a production of the Wood Stove House. Find us on the web at woodstovehouse.com.
In venues as large as...